I'm glad to see you all, and the opening hymn is 167, 167, to start the meeting. God is calling the prodigal, come without delay, hear, O hear him calling, calling now for thee, though you've wandered so far from his presence, come today, hear his loving voice calling still. We'll keep our seats as we sing this opening hymn 167.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay, hear, O hear him calling, calling out for thee. Though you wander so far from his presence, come today.
For his blessing. Our God and Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks for the long suffering, the patience of our God. We give thanks for the extension of this time of gospel opportunity, and that the invitation can be given another time, and that the door of mercy is still open. We think, Father, of those who are with us who are still on the outside of that door and have not yet responded positively to the call of the gospel. May tonight be the night when they recognize their need and the urgency of this matter. And we're longing that they will respond, that they will come to Christ. We'd love that this would be the outcome of this meeting. And we pray for blessing on all who are here this evening and on all who have attended. And indeed for this area of Belfast, may it come before thee for blessing. And we pray for a real turning to the Lord. And may we see evidence of blessing tonight in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we'll sing another hymn, please. 378, 378. O come, sinner, come. O why do you delay? The pressing invitation is that you should come today. Tomorrow has no promise that it can give to you. Tomorrow is eternity just hidden from your view. Well, stand, please, as we sing this hymn.
Oh, come, sinner, come, oh, why do you delay? A pressing invitation is that you should come today. Tomorrow has no promise that it can give to you. Tomorrow is eternity.
Very glad to see all who have come along tonight, and we are really pleased to welcome you here. So this is the concluding meeting of this series of meetings, and if it's your first time here, you've made it just in the nick of time, and we're glad that you have, and you're very welcome tonight. Others of you, you've been before, and we appreciate you coming back again, and we appreciate all the support. We want to thank all the Christians who have come from various churches in the area. We really have appreciated your encouragement and support and prayers. And on behalf of David, and I would like to just thank the assemblies who have invited us to come here. We do appreciate the opportunity and the fellowship again. Also, we appreciate the permission from the council to use this site as well, and we're grateful for that. Now, this is the end of this series of meetings, but we're very thankful that the gospel continues to be preached in this area. So these meetings have been arranged by Christians who meet in gospel halls in the area. So in front of me, there's Parkgate, and there's Bloomfield, and there's Ballyhackamore gospel halls. And behind me, there's Glenburn, and there's Craigie Street, and there's Newton Breda. So if you live that way, there's those three assemblies in those gospel halls, and behind me, the ones I've mentioned, and the gospel will be preached in those localities if you want to hear more. Bloomfield has their gospel meetings from now on here, in that they have drive-in meetings, so on Sunday evening at 7, the gospel will be preached here in the car park, and you can just sit in your car and listen to the gospel here. I don't think there's anything else. There probably is something else I should be saying, but that's all I can remember. So our thanks to all who have supported and encouraged. And, oh yes, if you've got saved in the course of these meetings, please do let us know. We'd really, really love to hear that. And if you would like to be saved, you could be in the course of this meeting. Don't leave the meeting with unanswered questions. Don't leave the meeting. If you're wanting to be saved, we'd be very happy to speak to you and try and help if we can. Now, I'm going to read from the Bible in the Gospel of John. And first of all, in chapter 5, John chapter 5 and verse 40. John chapter 5 and verse 40. The Lord Jesus says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now in chapter 6, and we'll read verse 37. Chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And chapter 7, verse 34. Chapter 7, verse 34, the Lord says, "Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." Verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And finally, chapter 8 and verse 21. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." In these chapters, indeed, from John chapter 3 right through, there's just this run of chapters in which there is this big emphasis on the thought of coming to Christ. And we are so glad for all who have come to the meetings. But I hope everyone here recognizes that the aim of having these meetings is not just that people come to meetings. We're delighted that people come to meetings, but that is a means to an end. We are wanting to introduce you to this glorious person. There is no one like him, the Lord Jesus, God's Son, who died for our sins, who rose again, who is able and willing to save.
We're presenting him to you, and the aim of the meetings is that you would come to him. That's what it's all about. Friends, that's the only thing that matters. When life is over and the day is done, have you ever come to Christ? And there are four things I want to mention on this subject then of coming to Christ. And the first thing I want us to think about is this. You can come to Christ. You can come to Christ. There is an invitation that the Lord Jesus gives, and it is an invitation that is extended to everybody. And the Lord Jesus, he, as it were, threw his arms open wide, and he threw the invitation out to any and to all, and he says, "The one who comes to me, under no circumstances will I cast out." He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And the Lord Jesus is putting up no barriers. The Lord Jesus is not building any walls. No, the Lord Jesus, he came in order to break down the barrier between us and God, to bridge the divide that existed between us, so that we can come to him. Now, the fact that the Lord Jesus issued this invitation to everybody to come, it tells us at least three things. It tells us this, that we, I'll just use you to make it more pointed, you have wandered. The Lord Jesus wouldn't need to say, "Come," unless there was a distance between us. The fact that he was inviting people to come is implying this, that there is a divide. There has been a separation. We have wandered. The Bible says, all we, just like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one of us to our own way. Another verse in Isaiah tells us that your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God. And so man was created at the beginning to enjoy friendship and fellowship with God. And that's where real satisfaction and true life is found. But sin came in, and it severed that tie. And it took us away from a God who is holy. We have wandered. But the Lord Jesus, he came in order that we could be brought back. He had to come to us, or we could never have come to him. If he had stayed in heaven, then there would have been no way back for us. There would have been no return. That barrier of our sin would have stood there, immovable, indestructible. And we would have been lost forever. But the Lord Jesus came. He came to us. And by his death at Calvary's cross, he fully paid the penalty for sin. And proved that by his resurrection. And so by his sacrifice, the Bible says he has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open and you may go in. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. So although you've strayed away, you don't need to stay away. Things can be different. And you can be brought into your real, right relationship with God. The fact that he says, "Come," it tells us you have wandered. It tells us you are wanted. Doesn't it? I mean, he's issuing the invitation. And look at all that he has done. Think of the suffering that he endured. The Bible says Christ also has once suffered for sins. the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This is how much you're wanted. The Bible says we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And so he was prepared to give us all, to pay an infinite price, to make that ultimate sacrifice so that we could be reconciled. He didn't have to do that. He could have just left us at a distance and in our darkness, headed for destruction, but he loved us. Listen to what he says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And as the Lord looked on a sinner like me, he could have just said, let him go. Let him perish. He says, let him return. You are wanted. No matter where you've been, no matter how far you've strayed away, and no matter how long you have stayed away, you are wanted, and the invitation is aimed at you this evening. And the Lord is calling you to come to him. In fact, he says, come. Tells us you have wandered. You are wanted. And you'll be welcomed. Listen, you will be welcomed. I can't even say that without thinking of an interview I saw with a woman who had reached the very pinnacle in the world of pop music. And she was in this interview, she was talking about her upbringing in church. And how in church she used to sing this song. And the song was entitled, Come As You Are. And she started to sob. And sob and sob. And she said, I just wonder if I came now, what kind of a reception I would get. And the interviewer hadn't a clue what to do. And I would have loved 30 seconds to tell her what kind of a reception she would get. The Lord Jesus told us. He spoke about a prodigal son who went away in rebellion and self-will and wasted everything. And when he had absolutely nothing, he came to his senses and realized, I need to get home. I'm going to perish here. He realized, I've sinned. It's my own fault. I'm not worthy. You know, I can't just come strutting it. I don't deserve to be received. And in that attitude, I've sinned and I'm not worthy. He turned for home. The Bible says that while he was still a great way off, what happened? Did the father stand there with his arms folded, tapping his foot? Was that the reception he got? Did he wait for the boy to come groveling and say to him, what do you want? You've some neck. You've wasted everything and now you come crawling back here. Was that the reception? When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. And ran. And fell on his neck and kissed him. And he had this great celebration. And the Lord is saying, this is the heart of God. And this is the welcome that you will get. You know, people back when the Lord was, they had the wrong idea about God. And there was a sign up at the temple. And it said, no stranger is to enter within the balustrade of this temple and enclosure, and anyone who does will himself be responsible for his ensuing death. And what they were communicating to the world is this: you are not wanted. You are not welcome. And the Lord came to show them, look, you've got completely the wrong idea. He revealed the heart of God. And he says, the one who comes to me, under no circumstances will I cast him out. There is a welcome awaiting you. You might be reluctant to come, but he will not be reluctant to receive. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. There's no secret what God can do. Listen, the Lord Jesus died on the cross with his arms outstretched. And it's just a picture of the fact that by his death, all are welcome. And those arms are still outstretched to you. You can come. The second point I want to make is you must come. You must come. There is a responsibility on you to come to Christ. David mentioned, I think last night, yes, a woman that we spoke to. And after speaking to her about the gospel, she said to us, she says, you know, I think it'll come. I asked her what she meant. She says, salvation, I think it will come. No, no. It will not come. You have to come. Salvation is there for you, but you have to come. You have to take that step. You have to come to Christ. A friend of mine was telling me about when his father got saved. His father was in hospital, and a Christian came to visit him. My friend was sitting there watching the interaction between this Christian and his dad. And the Christian was pressing upon this man the need to be saved. The need to be saved. And my friend's dad was saying to him, he said he'll not cast me out. He said he'll not cast me out. And the Christian said to him, he said, the one who comes, I will not cast out. You haven't come. It's the one who comes, he'll not cast out. You haven't come. My friend Brian, he said, I thought he was going too heavy. But he says, then my dad just said, you know what, you're right. Never come. I'll come right now. And he got down on his two knees then and there. And he came. You must come. Listen, if there is not a moment in your life when you come to the Saviour, then there's no hope of you being saved. Salvation is found alone in the Lord Jesus. You must come. The third thing I want to think about is this. You won't come. The Lord Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Just think about that. He says, you might have life. It's there for you. What a glorious possibility. You might have life. It is available. But he says, you won't come to me that you might have life. And I want you to ask yourself the question, those of you who have not come to the Saviour, why have you not come? As I thought about, why is it that people don't come to Christ? Some people, they don't come because their attitude is no reality. That is, they just don't think the message is true.
Friends, I hope everyone here recognizes the reality of the message. I mean, we've thought in these meetings about the claims of Christ, about the fulfillment of prophecy, about the evidence of the resurrection, about the transforming power of the gospel. It's assert that this is true. Don't kid yourself on that this is make-believe. This is provable. This is factual. This is real. Others, they don't come because to them, no necessity. Well, salvation is for bad people. Salvation is for criminals. So it is. And that includes us all. The Lord Jesus said there's none good except one. And that's God. We've all fallen short of God's standard of goodness. We're a bad bunch. We're all criminals. We violated God's law. We're condemned. And no matter how good you are or think yourself to be, you have this problem of sin and salvation. Coming to Christ is a necessity. You're not good enough for heaven. You need the Savior. You need to come to Him. Others, they won't come because they think there's no possibility. They think they've gone too far and God doesn't love them and Christ can't save them. Who told you that? Where did you get that? So no matter what you've done, God still loves you. And Christ can still save you. He saved people like you and far worse. And saving you will be no problem to Him. And if you want salvation, then you come to Christ. There is still this glorious possibility. Others, they don't come to Christ because they see no simplicity. They just don't understand it. What does it mean to come to Christ? And maybe you think, you know, if I was there when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, well, then it would have been so simple to respond to His invitation, would it? What would you have done? If you heard the Lord Jesus say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What would you have done? You say, well, I would have walked up to Him. Then what would you have done? Well, I would have knelt before Him. That would be appropriate. Right? And what would you have done then? Well, I would have asked Him to save me. Forgive me. That simple. Yeah. The thing is, it's simpler. You see the walking up, that you don't need to do that. Just where you are. In your heart. You see what you would have done if you had been there? You can do that right now. In your heart, you can come to Christ. If you want to be saved, if you're willing to have Him as Lord and Savior, it's just as simple as coming to Him. Maybe just for some of you, it's because there's no priority. And your attitude is someday. But listen, this is the only opportunity you're guaranteed. Death's on your track. The Lord is soon to come. The door is soon to close. And the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Because the Lord Jesus spoke about the fact that there are people and they can't come. He says, you die in your sins. Where I am, you can't come. You've missed it. The door is closed and it stays closed. There's a great gulf and it's fixed. If you're on the outside of that closed door, the wrong side of that fixed gulf, abandon hope, you're lost and lost forever. Listen, the door is open now. And the invitation is given. For the sake of your soul, hear and heed the voice of Christ. He calls you to come. Come to him just now.
I'll turn again to the Bible, please. This time in John's Gospel, in chapter 11. John chapter 11, please, and verse number 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now that's the reading of the Lord's blessing upon it. I want to think just of this little occasion in the story that took place at Bethany here, and to see it as a little illustration of the gospel message. Martha speaks to her sister Mary and says, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." And as soon as she heard that, Mary arose quickly and came unto him. Now, what were the circumstances in the background here? Well, there had been sickness in Mary and Martha's family. Their brother called Lazarus had been sick, and there was a little delay in him having any kind of deliverance from that sickness, and so he got sicker, and then eventually he died. And so there was this terrible separation that comes from death, and there's a lot of sadness and a lot of sorrow in this family at this time. We've got a family that's grieving. Mary and Martha are grieving, and their brother has been dead for 4 days. He's buried, he's in a tomb, and then the Lord arrives at Bethany, and he has a conversation with Martha. And then Martha, she runs to Mary and she says this to him. She says, "The Master has come and he's calling for you." And it says that the way that Mary responded to that was this: as soon as she heard it, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, she responded immediately. She heard that report. And what was the report? Well, the Master is come. The Master is come. Now, who is this Master? Well, in the previous verse, it tells us that he is the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so Mary received a message about the Christ. That's the one who is the fulfiller of God's word. All the prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled by him. And he's the Son of God. He's the revealer of God's heart. In fact, John chapter 1 tells us that the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And Mary hears that this one has come. And this one is calling for her personally. And she doesn't wait too long and think about it and puzzle over it and delay and get distracted with other things at all. It says when she heard it, in fact it says as soon as she heard it, she arose quickly and came unto him. I want to think about this report that she heard, and I want to think of her response. And I want you to see that this is just a little illustration of the response that you should have tonight to this same person the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the report that she heard? The Master has come and calls for thee. First of all, she heard about his coming. She heard about his coming. Now, why had the Lord Jesus come into this particular circumstance at this time? He had come because there was a problem. There had been a death. And the result of that death was this sorrow and sadness that I've mentioned. But of course, death has only come because of a much deeper problem. And the much deeper problem that has brought death into this world is the problem of sin. And so the Lord Jesus had come to Bethany where Mary and her sister Martha was because they had been affected by the problem of sin. See, the Bible tells us that it is by one man that sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Sin has come into the world and sin has opened the door for the entrance of death and all the sadness and sorrow and pain and separation and all of the sickness and all of these things that have come in at the same time. So why did the Lord Jesus come to this particular place at this time? He came because of the problem that was there. But so what? Why did he come? Well, he came, if you go up the passage, he came because it tells us Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, he came, yes, because there was a problem, but he came because he had a deep, sincere, real compassion for the people who had been affected by the problem. And so he was willing to take the journey to be there where they were. That's why he came. And where is it he came to? Well, he came to where the problem was. This place called Bethany. I was interested today, I should have known this before, but I was interested today just to notice that the name Bethany means the house of misery. The house of misery. Just think about that. He came to where there was misery, to where there was sorrow, to where there was sadness. And he arrived there. And he arrived there in love to those who were there in order to bring to them blessing. Now, can I just apply that tonight very simply in the gospel? There is a report that has come to you over the nights that are past, over the last few weeks. And it has come to you already tonight, if this is the first night that you've been here to listen to the message of the gospel, and the report has been about the coming of Christ. And why has he come from heaven into this world? Well, the Bible tells us that he came to save. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In other words, there is a problem. And it's this problem of sin. And it has affected every one of us without exception. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, has come from heaven and he has come into this world in order to deal with the problem. The Bible says God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What is it that caused him to come? What led the Son of God to leave his throne on high, to shed his precious blood, to suffer and to die? It was love. Unbounded love for us led him to die and suffer thus. See, the Bible tells us he came not to condemn the world, but to save it. He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He came not to be served, but to serve. And then it says this, and to give his life a ransom for many. In other words, how is he going to deal with the problem of our sin? He would have to go to the cross at Calvary. And over these weeks, you've been hearing about the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary. There the Son of God was lifted up to die. There, voluntarily, willingly, he laid down his own life. The Bible says he gave himself a ransom for all. It says he gave himself for us. It says he gave himself for me. So there upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin. He has come. He has come to deal with the problem. Where is it he has come to? He has come to the planet that we're in. That's a wonderful thought. It says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It says God sent not his Son into the world. Think of the wonder of that. This one who is from another place altogether, outside of the universe. And from heaven he stoops to enter into this world. The Bible says he was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into the world. He came to the planet. But I was thinking as well as that, there's a sense in which he has come to this place. You see, when the gospel is being preached, there is a promise that the Lord Jesus Christ is in attendance. And so as you have sat and listened to the message of the gospel tonight and in nights previous, remember this, the Lord Jesus himself has drawn very near. I was thinking today that it doesn't just say that he came, it says he is come. And the idea is that he is near. He's near. You know, we look to the past and we say he has come. We look to the future and we think he will come. But there's a sense in which as the gospel is being presented tonight, remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ has drawn near or is drawing near at this moment. So he's come to the planet. He's come to this place. And I was thinking it's very likely that he's come to a person. Last night we mentioned those words of the Lord Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it may well be that there is a person in this meeting at this moment. And you know that in a very special way, over this number of weeks, or even in this gospel meeting, you have been aware that the Lord Jesus himself has drawn near. Master is come. The Master has come. But not only do we read of his coming, we read about his calling. It says the Master has come. And he's calling for thee. He's calling for thee. Now, when is he calling? This is the present tense. That means it's ongoing. It's ongoing. So here was Mary, and the message that was given to her was this. That the Master's come and he's calling. He's calling. It's talking about an attitude of heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to come to him. He is calling. It's ongoing. And who is he calling? Well, in this occasion, it says he's calling for thee. Now, that's one person. That's one person. You know, very often we think of the call of the Lord that goes out to every person. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing to think of. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, there's no one excluded. You feel the burden of your sin tonight, you come to Christ. And you'll receive rest. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any person thirst, listen, whoever you are tonight, if you are thirsty for satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction, you come to Christ and you will receive it. Come to the very end of the Bible. There's a kind of the final call before the Bible is closed. The book is finished. It says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you want salvation, it's there for the taking. You can have it tonight. But you know, there are occasions in the Bible when the voice of the Lord is very specific. You know, there's a young boy actually in the Old Testament called Samuel. And he heard the word, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. He says, the Lord's calling me. There's a man by the name of Zacchaeus in the New Testament. And the Lord came to the foot of the tree in which Zacchaeus was. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. It was very specific to him. There's a man called Saul of Tarsus who really had tried to push away from him any thought of Christianity and Christ. And he heard the word Saul. Saul. And maybe there's someone here tonight. And you know that the Lord has come close. And that the Lord has been deliberately, definitely, calling you to respond to this message of salvation tonight. It has been an ongoing call. And it has been an ongoing call to one person, just to you. It's a hymn that we sometimes sing. It says, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn, while the Saviour in mercy is waiting. And steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. O sinner, thine ears have been deaf to his voice. Thine eyes to his glory been dim. The calls of the Saviour have so wearied thee. Oh, what if they should weary him? Oh, turn, while the Saviour in mercy is waiting. Listen, the Master is come. And he's calling for you. And he wants you to respond. He wants you to come. You know, early on in these meetings, there was a little section in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, that came into my mind on a couple of occasions, but I could never get just tied down to mention in the meeting. But it's a little story, and it's the story of a man who had a vineyard, and he had a fig tree in the vineyard. Now, for a fig tree to be in a vineyard means that the fig tree is a very privileged fig tree. Okay, it's going to be looked after very, very well. And hopefully it's going to grow and it's going to produce the fruit that's necessary. But this person who owned the fig tree, he went to the fig tree to get fruit off it and he couldn't find any fruit. It never produced the fruit that was intended. It was given this privileged position, but there was no fruit. There was no fruit produced. And so the owner said to the vine dresser, he says, cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? Then the vine dresser said this. He says, let it alone this year also. And I'm going to dig about it. And I'm going to dung it. And if it doesn't produce fruit then, cut it down. I was thinking of this earlier on in the meetings, and it came home to me tonight just as I was preparing for this meeting, and I just thought to myself, there's another year. There's another opportunity. There's the gospel that has gone out again. And the grace and compassion of the heart of Christ has been presented. And the truth of his suffering and death to provide for your soul's salvation has been proclaimed. And the one who died for you and rose again remains with arms open wide at this moment. But listen, he owes you nothing. He owes you nothing. Opportunity after opportunity has come for many, and they have not responded to the gospel. The Master has come, and he's calling for you. He's calling for you. What about the response? It says, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came. You know, I can imagine, who's come? Well, it's the Master that's come. Christ, the Son of God, has come. The Savior of the world has come. The one who can deal with the problem, he has come. What does he want? So he wants you. He wants you. And immediately she responds. Now, I want you to think of her response just in a very simple way. It says, as soon as she had heard. Okay, so this, I think this evidences that there was a desire in her heart to respond to the Lord. It was an immediate desire that rose up in her heart. She was in this place of misery and this place of death, this place that had been affected by sin. And maybe there's someone here in this meeting and you know that sin brings misery and death and has destroyed your life up to this moment. And you also know if you remain there, you will be in hell forever. And maybe there is a desire in your heart to respond to the call of the gospel. The Lord is calling you. And you have this desire. I want to be saved. Well, listen to the next point, because I think it's very important. And Paul has emphasized it already. It wasn't just that she had a desire. She had decisiveness. There was a decision that was made. Listen to what it says. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. Right? She wasn't going to delay. She wasn't going to allow any distraction to enter in. She was determined that she would come. You know, the Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You say, I'm not saved. Have you striven to enter in? The Bible says, seek first. So I'm not saved. Is it number one? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Say, I'm not saved. Have you ever sought the Lord? Listen, have you ever come to him? Actually decided to come? I think there's many, many people who sit in gospel meetings and they want to be saved, but they never decide to come to Christ. What's her direction? It says she came unto him. She came unto him. You know, as the story goes on, we discover she got, I think she got more than her heart desired or even thought when she came to Christ on this occasion. She saw the glory of God. She saw a weeping Christ which manifested the love and compassion that he had in the circumstances. She saw the power of Christ giving life to the dead. And listen, if you would come to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, remember this, you would enter into the knowledge, truly, of his love and compassion and power and grace. And your life would be transformed. Listen, the Master has come. And he's calling for you tonight in this gospel meeting. Long, long has he called you. In vain. But why not be decisive tonight? Why not respond? And come to him. And we've heard already, he has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And we're going to pray. Our Father, would you give thanks again for the opportunity to share the gospel with those that have come. And we give thanks for the person that we've sought over these weeks to present the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thanks for a welcome that awaits those who are willing to make that choice and enter. And so we pray that should there be any here who remain at this moment at a distance, we pray that they will desire salvation and that they will decide to go in for it tonight and come to Christ. And we give thanks for the assurance of blessing for them if they do. We commit ourselves now to thee, giving thanks for all thy blessings over these weeks and praying for thy hand to be upon each soul in the Lord's precious name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing just a verse or two of a hymn to conclude. I just add my thanks or just agree with all that Paul said at the beginning of the meeting. Going to sing hymn number 233. Verse 1 says, O come, poor needy sinner, come turn aside and see Christ's wonderful redemption, the fruit of Calvary. The Saviour sits exalted. Salvation now is free, and the Lord himself is calling thee. I'm going to sing verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 and 4 of 233, just remaining seated while we sing.
Her health was doubting sin.